Following the notorious corporate scandal earlier this year, there is a new joke term for the amount of cash that accounting firms, which have made a bundle from the many services they've billed to a particular client, have made. They are, it is being said, making carillions out of them. And in a summer break, while numerous inquiries into the future reform of audit are taking place, this is not good. There is much talk of all the usual suspects on the reform horizon. The firms should be broken up. Assurance should be provided instead by insurance policies paid for and by and based on the company's directors. State audit organisations should be set up. Audit should be split off from advisory services. The problem is that all of these issues have been round the block before, and the flaws in their logic and likely failures exposed. But the real issue is that they come at it from the wrong direction. They look at the existing system, throw some mud at the participants, and hope that they reform themselves. What is really needed is something rather different. Someone needs to sit down and ask what the required outcome should look like. As in any morass of ideas and issues, the full solution doesn't exist. If there was a solution, we would recognise it, point at it, and institute it forthwith. But there is no obvious solution to the problem of audit independence as it currently stands. No one in their right minds would suggest that the company that is being audited should pay the auditors to do it. Technically, the fiction is that the auditors are appointed by shareholders at the annual general meeting, but that, frankly, as everyone knows, is a legal nicety gracing a fiction. And that is the weak link. If auditors were truly independent of the client, then none of these arguments would be going on. All the checks and balances, like independent directors or active investors, already exist in reality, but they don't do their job. The answer ought to be with the investors. It is technically their company. It is their investments that are at stake if the company turns rapidly and precipitately belly up. I was chatting to a city lawyer the other evening, a governance expert, and he confirmed what we all know. Investors sometimes make a fuss about the need for independence, but they don't follow it through. The reports, the disclosures, and all the rest proliferate. The report and accounts have grown hugely in thickness of documentation, but as he said, it is nearly all unread. The only useful extra service that investors might ask a company for, he said, would be a post-it note guiding them to the chairman's report and to the remuneration schedules. Apart from that, nothing much is read, still less scrutinised. And it is that weakest link to which reformers should be applying their attention, if not scrutiny, as well.